Welcome to All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio with your host, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is educate people and make wine less confusing and more friendly.
Call our guest line during the live show and talk about wine on air. Dial area code 646-727-3235. From coast to coast.
Basser, Kansas.
Deming, New Mexico.
Ithaca, New York.
Knoxville.
Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
Lexington, Kentucky.
Montana.
Moscow, Idaho.
New Hampshire. New Mexico.
Santa Rosa.
Sevierville, Tennessee.
South Dakota.
The coast of Maine.
The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Westport, Mass.
And around the world.
TheDriftingWineMaker.com. I just arrived in Bali about 3 days ago.
All About Wine is on, and our phone lines are open. In the U.S., call 646-727-3235.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that. Alba Vineyards.
Blog.10Live.
Boy Flip Winery.
Brotherhood.
Camas Prairie Winery.
Candia Vineyards.
Hello, the Borghese.
Eagle Springs Winery.
Flathead Lake Winery.
Free the Grapes.
Grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery.
Hershey Harrisburg Wine Country.
How this show has grown from, you know, maybe a couple hundred to over 40,000 people. And yeah. That's fantastic.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery.
Hummingbird Ridge Winery.
Toy Toy of Wine.
Full of Vineyard.
Prairie Berry.
Rainborn Wines.
Rocky Top Wine Trail.
Gila Lauer Vineyards and Winery.
Southwest Wines.
Heber Hill.
Ten Spoon.
University of Kentucky Extension.
Vineyard at Hershey.
Bebach Winery.
Walt Vineyard.
West Port Rivers.
Wine Flower.
And now, it's the show dedicated to the wine industry. Although, sometimes we do get off track.
The most well-known haunted winery in the Midwest.
Belvoir Winery. I've heard voices at the winery.
If you have any questions or anything to talk about, we will be more than happy to talk to you about or search it for you or try to find information for you out there, because there is a lot of information out there about wine.
It's All About Wine. Here is your host, Ron.
Thank you, bus people. We are done with the rain. Stay on here.
Oh, yes. 3 days.
Whoa,
settle down. 3 days of nonstop rain, and here we are. Was that at the end of that audio, or was that something else?
I don't know. I heard that, too, the little blurb at the end there. I don't know. Maybe somebody threw a bottle. Who knows?
Could be.
Could be. We're getting a lot of rains here, though. A lot of rain here in the west coast of Florida. And way above our average and all that, and a little flooding here and there and all that. But one cool thing, and I was talking to my daughter about this today, one cool thing is we can get all this rain and everything, and yet tomorrow we can go out, we can play baseball, we can play golf, we can do anything, and it's dried up. It's soaked into the ground. We're done, you know, so.
Kind of like today was. Today was, we didn't have any rain today. I mean, maybe a drizzle or two, but,
I got some serious rain over here.
Really?
Yeah, for about 45 minutes, it came down pretty well. Good. So.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. We're far away.
Yeah, I know. We've been corresponding, and I have to welcome some new listeners, and hopefully we're going to have new listeners. Armed Forces Radio Network. We've been contacting them. We've been talking to the director of programming for AFRN. I listened to Armed Forces Radio Network back when I was in Vietnam years ago. Great, great program, great radio concept. It's for all the armed forces people and all that, and it's fantastic. I'm a big fan of veterans and of armed forces and all that, being one myself. But we got contacted by the director of program for the Armed Forces Radio Network, asking about putting our show on their network, and I'm thrilled, I'm happy, I'm excited, and I'm looking really, really looking forward to it. So if this goes through and if this happens, and hopefully this is going to be the first program they listen to, welcome all of you men and women out there who are wine lovers, who are in the service. Welcome to the program, and if you like the program, then let other people know. And yes, definitely.
Yes, sir.
And if you are in places like France or Germany or Italy, send me wine. And So, but I wanted to, you know, hopefully we're going to hook up with y'all, and this will, this hope will be a good relationship now and into the future. So I wanted to bring that up now. So welcome all the Armed Forces people who are listening to the programs. Mike's going out now, I believe, and try to get our speaker tonight. Going to hook him up tonight. We have, and I have been trying for, well, years. I've been saying I'm going to get a speaker on here for the that knows something about corks. And we've got one. We're going to have Vance Rose, who is a winemaker, actually, and a cork expert. He is an employee of Amrim Cork Company, Amrim USA. And their website, if you'd like to check it out, is amorimca.com. And they're actually, this is the cork company I use. I've been using Amrim for about 5 years now. I've switched over and used them as opposed to some others I've used in the past. And I'm thrilled with their corks and what they've been able to help and all that stuff. So we are going to be talking to Vance as soon as Mike gets a hold of him, and he's out trying to contact him right now. If you are listening to this on Armed Forces Radio Network, and we do run over, everything is available on archives. You can go into your computer to blogtalkradio.com and check out All About Wine, or you can go to our website, www.allaboutwinebtr.com, and pick up everything on archives there. All of you can. I mean, if you don't catch it all, or if you missed past episodes, or if you want to check out a past episode, everything is available on all back episodes, so you can always go check everything out that way. Looks like Vance is in the green room, ready to come on. Let's get Vance on into the program here. And there he is.
Hello,
welcome,
Ron,
Vance, to the program. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here with you.
Yeah, I was just telling people before, while Mike was out getting you, that we've been talking about getting a cork person on here for a long time, and I'm glad you're finally on here so you can tell us everything we ever wanted to know about corks.
Well, I will do my best not to bore you to tears.
I'm looking forward to it. It's an interesting thing, and I think people aren't aware of what, you know, all people know is that they stick the corkscrew in it, pop it out, throw it into a bag, a box, or a cork cage or something, or even the garbage, and that's the extent of their knowledge of a cork. And
it is amazing, and I get those questions every day. You know, most people have no thought about it when they do that. They're, I think, more worried about what's in the bottle than what's in their way to getting in the bottle.
Exactly. So I'm going to let you tell us about corks. I'm going to, you know, I'm sure you can just start and tell us the origins of corks.
Sure.
Everything.
I will give you the most unboring version of it that I can. But cork is a substance that is the bark of a cork oak tree. Most people think that you have to cut the whole tree down to get it, but it's a very interesting process. This particular type of tree grows best in the Mediterranean basin. Portugal, Spain, a little bit in France, a little bit in Italy, and in North Africa. And you plant a tree, a cork tree, and it grows for 25 years before you do anything to it. And then
wow.
You strip that bark off of it for the first time after 25 years, and it's called virgin bark. And it's not thick enough to use for a natural cork, so it's ground up and used for all sorts of other uses. And then that tree is marked, and it can be harvested every 9 years after that. And that tree will live 200 to 300 years.
Wow.
So it's a very natural product. It's been used for centuries because it has a tremendous sealing capacity as well as flexibility. So it can go in a bottle of different sizes and shapes and pull the wine in there and help preserve it.
People are always saying, and I'm always asking, I teach a class every month, sometimes a couple times a month, and one of the things I do talk about is corks. And I always start out my conversation on corks by asking, how many of you out there have heard that corks are disappearing? And invariably, three-fourths of the people in the class have heard that rumor going around.
Yes. It's unfortunate because it is not true. There is enough existing cork trees in the world to keep us supplied with cork at our current and growing rate for the next 100 years.
Wow. Now, I have heard, and this is something that I tell people you need to be concerned about, is the fact that development is causing cork plantations to be sold and plowed under. Is this a problem?
It is not a major problem. It does exist in some areas, but there are a number of countries that have some laws against cutting cork oak trees down. And when,
oh, really?
If Portugal is the primary country, if you do cut a cork oak down, you have to find some place to plant another tree in its place.
Oh.
So currently, the acreage for cork is relatively steady, and it is supplying plenty of cork for us at the moment.
Now, this is all about wine, the program, and I know we're talking about corks for wine bottles, but corks are used not just on wine bottles, but the cork floors and the cork gaskets and cork bulletin boards and all this stuff. Is this all original cork, or is this recycled cork?
No, this is all original cork. Recycled cork at the moment is primarily used in shoes, making
shoes.
Different types of shoes. Yeah, it for some reason, you know, it's not used in floors. There's enough new cork for that. So right now, recycled cork is all going to shoes.
So these big cork platform shoes you see women clomping around in, and that's usually recycled cork.
You may have had that bottle of wine a couple of months ago, and you will never know it.
Yes.
I hope it was
yes,
a good bottle of wine.
Yeah, always. Always. Cork now, the trees, is there a better part of the tree to harvest a cork for wine corks? Or, I mean, I have pictures of a cork trees and something else that I'm aware with, that they just scrape the bark off of everything, even the branches and everything. But is there any one part of the tree that is preferable over others to use for wine?
Yes, definitely. The bottom 18 inches have been determined to be the worst quality of cork for wine because it comes in contact with too many other things, you know, things that are growing on the ground that could potentially harbor something bad. So cork now within our company is only used from the foot and a half mark up. And that bottom part is stripped because it's healthy for the tree, but it goes only into cork flooring production.
Oh. Huh. So anywhere in the tree, then, as long as it's thick enough, is good for wine corks.
Exactly. And what people don't really understand is that we strip that bark off the tree, and then by law, it has to go and age for 19 months outside in the elements. Not horribly different from the way barrel manufacturers air dry their stakes. So it stays out there for 9 months at a minimum in the elements, and then we boil it to flatten it out, and then it cures for about 6 weeks, and then we cut that bark into strips wide enough to make natural corks with. And so one tree may, make corks of very different grades. Some of those cork strips are going to make the very greatest corks, and some of them at one end or one side of the tree may make a cork that's not as pretty, and so it'll be a lower grade. But all of that will be used for cork. And once you punch that first natural cork out of it, there's still about 69% of the remaining bark still left to be used. And we grind that up and make technical corks with that, with different size pieces from that, from the grinding process.
Wow. You mentioned grades, and I was going to ask you later, but since you mentioned it now, how are corks graded?
Corks are graded visually, and it really is having to do with how they look. It's more of a marketing thing than anything, but that look will also help determine their density, and that can play a factor in the ageability of a wine with that cork in it. The more dense that cork, then a wine could potentially live longer. And so generally, the better looking that cork is, fewer holes in it, we call them lenticels, then the higher grade that is and the more expensive that cork is.
What is it called? What the holes called?
Lenticel.
Lenticle?
Lenticel.
Spell that.
L-E-N-T-I-C-E-L, I believe, is how you spell it. Lenticel.
Oh, never heard of that. That's the holes.
Because there are the holes in the cork, and it's a natural thing because it is tree bark. And so it is going to have little holes in it, and that does not factor in the fact that it will hold wine in. It is merely a cosmetic look of the cork that people are willing to pay more for a better-looking cork, so that when you pull it out, you'll think, wow, what a cork. Wow, it must be a great wine.
In theory.
In theory, and that's, you know, some marketing person came up with that, not me.
Yeah, that's great. So what grades go from what, A to Z, or from 1 to 10, or how are they labeled?
Oh, there are, every company does it slightly different. The traditional way was Portuguese terms, flor being the highest grade, meaning flower, and then going down from there. But people do them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. People do them 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60. So there's all sorts of different ways that cork companies have found to differentiate themselves from one another. So there's no standard for it.
Okay, now, corks, cork oak trees obviously have been around for a long, long time. When was the corks first? I'm sorry?
Long, long time, and corks were originally used in the earthen jars that traditionally were buried underground where wine was fermented in. And it was something that was used because it had expansive powers. They could put it in the top of these earthen jars, and when they dug it back up, they could take the cork out. And as that progressed and wine became fermented above ground, cork was continued to be used, particularly in the transport of wine, when it would be harvested in one area and made and transported by boat to another. They used basically the same shape, kind of earthen jars with these corks in it. And then as bottles came around, then cork was continued used in it. And it's been a long relationship for probably over 1,000 years.
Wow. So the cork oak trees, once it's harvested, you take it, you dry it for 9 months, and then boil it, and then dry it for another couple of months, and then punch the corks out.
Yep, you punch the natural corks out, and from that process, they, you know, for us here in the United States, they are graded usually 7 times with an electronic grater that takes a picture of the cork all over and then sorts it, you know, by each grade. And then the last grading is always done by a human.
Uh-huh.
And then that cork is, in our case, shipped to the United States. And here in the United States, we do really buy things to that cork to before it can go to a winery and in a bottle of wine. First of all, we print that cork with a winery's logo or name or website or phone, whatever they want. Then we moisturize that cork, making sure that it has the right percent of moisture in it. And we coat that cork. And each different type of cork, we have a different coating for it so that it goes in the bottle properly and comes out with the right amount of pull. And then we package that cork with a little SO2 so there's no yeast getting on it that might get into your wine and re-ferment your wine. And then we ship that cork to wineries so they can put it in your bottle and it can be shipped to you and you can enjoy a great bottle of wine.
Fantastic. Well, you say that's here in the United States. Isn't that basically the same procedure just about everywhere?
That's the same procedure everywhere. That's done in South America, and South Africa, and Australia, and Europe, and Canada. Everywhere cork is sold. It's done the exact same way.
Okay, now, cork is noted, infamous, if you will, for TCA.
Yes.
So, you know, let's talk about that for a few minutes. TCA and cork.
TCA is a shortening for trichloroanisole 2,4-6. And it's an element that exists in wood, and thus it can exist in cork bark. It exists in many other things as well. And one of the things that we didn't know about cork 20 years ago was that one of the precursors to it is triggered into TCA by chlorine and chlorine bleach. And chlorine, for a long time in the cork manufacturing business, was used to make a consistent color of cork. It was also used extensively in wineries to clean wineries. And that's why you heard about wineries that have TCA in their wood in their winery and have had to redo their winery. And that is the reason, because they used to clean with chlorine bleach. So once that process was figured out and stopped, the TCA levels have begun to drop dramatically. Also, as a company like ours, Amrum Cork, we lead the industry in research and development. We spend more in research and development than all the rest of the cork industry combined, about $7.5 to $8 million a year. And we have found ways to begin to eliminate TCA from cork. And it reduces the level in some, eliminates in others. So it's, you know, that 15 years worth of research has come a long, long way. And the problem that we had with TCA 10 years ago really is very, very, very small today. It still exists, and we're working diligently to try to eliminate it, but we really have it down to a very, very small percentage at this point. And, you know, people talk about screw caps and they have no TCA, but they have other problems, and they have a failure rate as well. Plastic corks have their problems, and they have a tremendous failure rate over time. So at this point in time, there is no perfect closure. It's really up to a winemaker to determine what they think is best for the wine and choose that closure and use it.
I have heard and read a couple of places, and I've gotten reinforced arguments on it, that screw caps tend to rise the SO2 level over a period of time in the wine. They don't know why, but they're finding that it does, to a point where you can actually start smelling it and tasting it. So
yes, there are. I would try not to get too technical with you, but I'm also a winemaker, and so this comes into play with what I do. But there is SO2 sulfur in virtually every wine, and there are two types of screw cap. One type allows no oxygen in from the outside, and the problem with that is SO2 needs oxygen to survive. So when you choke it off from oxygen, you get a thing called reductivity. The wine becomes reductive, and that sulfur dies and creates off smells of rotten egg, etc. And so that is not a good thing. So the screw cap industry figured that out, and they developed a breathable liner for that. And that does keep the SO2 alive, but it does allow air in from the outside. So if you have that on a pallet in a warehouse and the cardboard gets wet, that wet cardboard smell is going to go in. If you have it in your fridge and you have, fish or garlic in there, that smell is going to get in. And that's one of the great beauties with natural cork is it allows no air from the outside in, but that cork is about 80% oxygen, 20% solid. And so over time, it allows those 4 milligrams of air that are in the cork to slowly be released into the wine, keep that SO2 alive while it's still there, preserving your wine. So that's really the beauty and the functionality of natural cork over screw cap.
So go back. You said something there now. I have heard throughout my wine career, which spans like too many years, that corks, some people say that corks breathe. Others say that corks don't breathe at all, that they have no, there's no way. And I've heard that corks breathe a little bit to soften the tannins. That's one of the process of other people say corks do not breathe at all. Everything that happens is in the bottle. You're saying...
both sides are actually right. The cork allows no oxygen in from the outside, so nothing gets in externally, but a cork does have about 4 milligrams of oxygen in it. And so that oxygen is released into the wine over time, helping that wine, helping the SO2 stay alive and softening the tannins, et cetera. So both of those sides, I would say, are actually correct.
Okay, because I've heard so many different things, and I'm sort of on the breathing side of the fence myself, but then I've had other people argue with me vehemently that it doesn't. So I guess nobody's right on that.
Some major research that we have done at Amarim Cork to study oxygen ingress into bottles, and this was done in association with the University of Bordeaux, and that study shows that natural cork will not allow any oxygen in from the outside, but that it does have about 4 milligrams of air in it that is slowly released into the wine, helping that wine.
Well, the 4 milligrams really isn't a lot. Is that helping the wine?
It does. What it does is it keeps the SO2 that is in the wine alive long enough for it to live its life. And SO2 is an antioxidant, so it will keep oxygen from getting in and spoiling the wine. And so that is enough air to keep that SO2 alive for about 18 months before it goes away. And then there's a little oxygen left that's in there to help soften the tannins, and then that's it. And there's really no more wine air released into the wine, but there's no air coming in from the outside like plastic corks allows or screw caps with that breathable liner, what they allow.
And I didn't know screw caps have breathable liners. Now, that's interesting. I never realized that.
Yeah, so, they're the two types, the non-breathable and the breathable. And people are still using the non-breathable, but they're doing away with SO2, and they're using a substitute called copper sulfate. And that's a heavy metal, and it's something the federal government regulates to about 225 parts per million in a wine. And you need at least that in a wine to have it work with a screw cap, so a non-breathable screw cap. So people are using that as an alternative.
Ah, okay. You mentioned something there, and I was going to ask you about it, but while I'm thinking of it, I want to ask you now. You're a winemaker. Where? With who? You have your own winery? What do you do?
Yes, I have my own two different brands, small brands in California. We're in a crazy little part of Napa that you can only access via Sonoma. It's called Level Valley, and it's the coldest area in all of Napa to make wine. It's the only Region 1 vineyard area in all of Napa, and the only one in Sonoma is the extreme Sonoma coast. And I have a brand there called Grieve, which makes Sauvignon Blanc, and a brand called Double Eagle that makes a red Bordeaux blend.
Oh, are you online?
Yes, we're online, www.grievewinery.com. Grieve, G-R-I-E-V-E. Just the same as being sad. I have a partner in the wine business, and that is his last name, David Grieve.
Oh. So www.grieve.com.
Grievewinery.com.
Oh, Grievewinery.com.
Grievewinery.com. Yeah, we're a small producer. We make about 1,500, 1,800 cases a year. And are sold in a few places around the country and beginning to expand that a bit now where people can find us out there relatively soon.
Wow, fantastic. So do you use plastic or screw cap or what?
That's just not even nice to ask a guy like me. You're getting mean on me now. So, of course not. I was, as a winemaker, I have bought cork from a number of different cork companies in my career. And about 5 years ago, I settled in buying cork from Amrum. And after doing quite a bit of research on it and found that they really had the best cork, do the best things with it for a number of different reasons. And then 3 years ago, went to work for them. So I was a customer before anything.
Yeah, I've used Amarin now for about 5 years myself, and I'm thrilled with them. They've been very good. They've worked with me. I've had a couple of issues, not with them, but with just trying to cork it and stuff. And they've worked with me, and they've done a great job. I'm really, really thrilled with the company.
Well, thank you. I love you.
I mentioned earlier, I do a class, and I ask for some sort of visual aid or something. I can show the class, and Amarin actually sent me a chunk of cork bark that has some corks punched out of it, which people in the class are absolutely fascinated by that. They've never seen cork oak.
Yeah. They've never seen that, and it really is interesting to see because people, as we said at the outset of your show, people don't understand where it comes from and how it's done. They just stick the thing in there, pull it out, and go straight to the wine. And, as a winemaker, I don't have a problem with that. As a cork guy, it's kind of nice to get to educate them a little.
Yeah, I know, and it's always fun to see people's look when they look at the cork oak and the chunk of oak there. Process of punching them out, is everything automatic?
No, we do some automatic, but we do it primarily by hand because you take a slat of cork bark. And a trained person who can punch those by hand can avoid any imperfections in that and punch out a higher quality cork than a machine can. A machine is just driving straight into that without varying it at all. And so we get a higher quality from our manual punchers, but we get more done per hour by the machine. So we do some of both, and we continue to compare the two.
Yeah, it would seem like the manual would be almost cost prohibitive, but still the cork prices are rather cheap. I mean, you know, you can get corks anywhere from 8 cents up to, you know, 35-40 cents a piece, but
right.
You know,
yeah,
it,
and they've been relatively stable over the past 10 years. There hasn't been a great amount of price increase or decrease. They've been amazingly stable.
Yeah, and they have, and it is amazing too because everything else going up. Back to the cork oak forest, the harvesting of that all is by hand. It has to be, I would guess.
It has to be by hand. It is the highest paid agricultural work in the world.
Really?
Very long training for it. There's a 6-year apprenticeship before
Wow.
you can be on your own. And it is, you have to be very careful because if you dig into the tree itself, then bark won't grow back in that place. So, people, the cork oak forest owners, are willing to pay that high labor cost to have it done properly so that they can continue to regenerate the bark for them 9 years on.
Wow. I never realized. Is there a shortage of harvesters?
No, not at this point in time. There's plenty. It's interesting work because the cork harvest, not horribly unlike the grape harvest, lasts for about 4 months out of the year. It usually goes from about May through the end of August, and those people can make a nice living, a year's salary, by working 4 months.
Now, unbelievable.
During that 4 months, they tend to work more than your average 40-hour week.
I can imagine.
Because they're trying to make as much money as they can in that short window. And then they can go off and, you know, do something else for the other 8 months out of the year.
Wow. I never realized. That's interesting. The plantations, the cork oak plantations, and I'm going back to the beginning here on that. These cork oak plantations, are they big plantations, or are they little small things, like little small boutique wineries that got little small boutique plantations? Is it worth it, or?
It is very similar to the vineyard end of things in that you have some that are very small and some that are very large. They tend to be not huge, but not tiny. They tend to be in the 50 to 150 acre range, but there are people that have, you know, a few acres. But because it's harvested every 9 years, you kind of need to have enough where you can harvest some, you know, each year so that you have some income every year.
Right.
So they tend to be bigger than 1 acre, but some people do. Some people just have that there. There in Portugal, there is a law against total vertical integration where cork companies can't own the forest. And so they are all privately owned by individuals all throughout Portugal, and tend to be the same way in Spain and a little bit in France and in Italy as well. North Africa tends to be a little different.
You mentioned North Africa a couple of times. Where in North Africa would you find the cork oak?
Well, they're right there along the Mediterranean basin, Morocco, Algeria, Tunisia primarily.
Oh. So the farms, the plantations, the cork oak plantations, are, do they make enough money off of, well, obviously they must if they rotate it and all that stuff and everything. I don't know.
Right.
I'm trying to wrap my head around this. It seems, you know, because, you know, cork
seems
is cheap.
Crazy.
I mean,
yeah,
you know,
it seems crazy to plant a tree and wait for 25 years before you get your first harvest, and then every 9 years after that. So
yeah.
It is something that you won't find, you know, people going out and investing in today, you know, with their, you know, the only dollar they have. This tends to be people with money that have a very long-term outlook, you know, with their family's money. That tends to be, or you also have, you know, in particularly in Portugal, Spain, France, and Italy, this land being passed down from generation to generation.
And that's just what I was going to ask, if it's a lot of it's passed down. Why is cork oak grown only there? Won't it grow? I mean, can I plant cork oak trees here in Florida?
You can plant them in Florida, and I'm sure they would grow. But there is something about the degree of elasticity they get in that Mediterranean basin versus other places. There are cork oaks in California. There are some in China. But they just don't have the same property that they do in the Mediterranean basin. Now, there are some in China that they're harvesting, but they're finding they're just too squishy. And so they're using those for bulletin boards and all the other kinds of things that you can do, but not for wine cork.
Well, that's fascinating. that really is.
I wish I could tell you why that is, but I haven't figured that one out yet.
Yeah, you know, it's probably a combination of all sorts of things, weather and terror and all sorts of stuff. So
exactly. Same as growing a grape. It's going to be different in Florida versus in Portugal.
That's true. That's true. A cork oak, I'm reading some of these did you knows on here. Interesting little facts on the website for it's talking about different things like cork oaks absorb carbon dioxide as part of their natural growth, as do all trees. But the I'm back to the trees again because this fascinates me. How deep do you cut into it? I mean, how thick is this cork on most parts of the tree?
Well, it depends. If you harvest it at 9 years, that it tends to be maybe a couple of inches thick, this bark. And that can be at the bottom of the tree. You get up, you go, you know, up where it begins to limb out, you know, and maybe a few feet into those limbs to harvest that. And it may get down to an inch at the very top.
Wow.
And then that's when they quit. But some people may say, okay, I harvested that tree 9 years ago, but maybe I don't need money this year, I don't need as much, or I'll let a few of my trees go to the 10th or 11th year, and that bark will get thicker. And
oh, does
so
it?
You can, you know, it's not unusual for us to harvest trees that haven't been harvested in 10 or 11 years, and that is thicker bark, and We pay people by the pound, and so it is, it can be advantageous for them. And then that thicker bark, we use that to make corks for large format bottles, 3 liters, 6 liters, 9, 12, etc. So that bark is prized.
Ah. So, yes, so you would have thicker, deeper corks. Well, that makes a lot of sense, yeah. This is fascinating. It's really... Mike,
more than you've ever
questions.
Wanted to know about cork right here in one time.
I know, and it's great. Mike, do you have any questions for Vance here?
Not at this time. I was looking up some information on the TCA while you were talking about that, and I have all these little websites open, but trying to find out where the TCA is actually coming from. There was a study done, I believe, in Australia or someplace. Australian Journal of Grape and Wine Research. So I was looking up information on that. I figured you would obviously know everything about that, but because there was some discussion that they think it was coming from the lentisols, I guess, that might have been a cause of that. But then they're saying after the study that it seems to be forming or as a result of the punching stage. And
TCA exists in many environments. And it exists in soil, and that can be absorbed by through the soil into a cork tree and thus into its bark. And so our company, Amarum Cork, we have records going back decades from every forest that we bought from and what levels of TCA it is. We also go out and test the soil in every one of the cork forests that we're buying from to see what that level is. And so we, with that research data, we have stopped buying from certain forests or certain areas of certain forests and taken up new or other growers in other areas because they don't have TCA in the soil. We've done these studies of planting trees in heavily TCA soil and light TCA soil and non-TCA soil, and have found out the absorption rates and what levels in soil won't affect the bark and what will. So with that research, we can really control where we buy from, and that helps us tremendously in picking the right cork bark.
Wow.
Yeah, okay.
There's a lot that goes into what is on the top of your bottle of wine, and today you're getting to learn about it, talk about it, and think about it.
And that's great. It's absolutely great. I mean, I do think about it because I bottle the wine and all that, and but some of the stuff I teach the class, but this is just great. This is stuff I never really considered before. The corks themselves are less elastic enough that you can squeeze them to get them into the bottle. Is this tested to be sure that these things have enough moisture and the right amount of elasticity in it to be able to do that? Or do you just count on certain forests in certain areas to give you that?
We test different batches of cork, and through the years, our company is 143 years old, and we do only cork, so there's nothing else that we do. For 143 years, we dedicated ourselves to it, and so we've learned about the weight of a cork, the area that it comes from, how well it will perform, but we still test every batch of cork to make sure that it has the right elasticity and the right properties to perform well once it gets to your bottle of wine.
Fantastic. this is interesting, and the website too has some nice information on it for anyone out there. I mentioned the website address before we started. Let me just say that again. It's AmarimcA.com, and it's got a lot of information on there. It's got questions and answers and all that about the corks and all that. So if you want to check that out, and also be sure to check out Vance's winery's website too while you're looking that stuff up. The corks, recycled corks. What when you recycle corks? What is that used for? What besides
well,
you?
Really, it is corks are biodegradable. It is bark off a tree, and if that bark were to set out anywhere, outside, it would eventually biodegrade. So I don't really consider it recycling, but I do consider it upcycling and reusing. Because if you do throw it away and it goes into the landfill, it is going to decompose. It may take, 75 or 100 years, but it will, and there won't be a problem with it. But it's just gives away that it is, has a reuse and becomes something else. There are two companies in the United States that are currently recycling corks, one of which is funded by us at Amrim, and it's just a way to have a some reuse of these corks. And at this point in time, we partner with a shoe company called Sole, S-O-L-E, out of British Columbia, Canada. And we collect all the corks from around the United States. They come to our production facility in the south end of Napa, and we put them on a container and ship them to British Columbia, and they make sandals out of them.
Uh-huh.
So it's just a way of upcycling or reuse, if you will.
So corks, all you people out there, recycle them. Don't just toss them in the garbage. There are uses for them, and there's no need to toss them away. I'm a big environmentalist, and I understand that there is a lot of indigenous plants and animals that are in cork oak plantations. Is that true? Are you aware of that? Or?
Oh, absolutely. There are two things. You mentioned a few minutes ago CO2 absorption by palm trees, and the cork oak forests are about 7.2 million acres, and it is the second largest CO2-absorbing ecosystem in the world, second only to the Amazon River Basin. So from that standpoint, keeping that ecosystem healthy is very, very important. And it's that ecosystem also supports a great biodiversity of flora and fauna. And without that cork forest there, that wouldn't exist. And there would be a number of animal species that would be without a habitat. There would be a number of plant species that would not have a habitat. And in certain areas, it would cause desertification, where the desert would just run all the way to the ocean. And so it's a great barrier to create a living ecosystem between desert and ocean, particularly in North Africa. Tremendous CO2 absorption and great biodiversity. So from a environmental standpoint, cork is miles and miles ahead of any other closure. It is a renewable resource, whereas screw caps currently are made of aluminum, which comes from open pit strip mining of bauxite, which is a finite resource. They also have the liner in there, and because of that liner, almost all recycling companies in the United States don't recycle those because they can't get the liner out. The other piece are the plastic corks, and plastic comes from petroleum. We know that is a finite resource. So from an environmental standpoint, most people don't recycle those as well. Recycling plants don't have a great way to melt those down and reuse them. So those are going into the landfill. The other piece, we talked about screw caps earlier, plastic corks, people don't understand it, but they allow oxygen in from the outside as well, and they let it in at a pretty rapid rate. And so the plastic corks, for me, don't work on an environmental standpoint, but from an oxidative standpoint, from a winemaker, they don't work very well either.
Uh-huh. So, people, the lesson learned here, corks. That's the bottom line, it sounds like.
That is the bottom line. You're a smart man, Ron.
Thanks. Well, Vance, unless there's something else you want to say about corks and all that, I'm thrilled. I've learned so much on this program about corks. Mike, you have any final questions or anything for Vance?
No, I'm good. This is we've been waiting for someone to come on with this topic. This is good.
Well, I'm very happy to be that one and supply you with all the info about cork you never really wanted to know.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, absolutely great. And Vass, I'm going to ask you now, I'm going to invite you back to talk just about your winery. We need to get you
on
here and talk about
that. I have as much to say about my wines as I do about cork.
Great. Well, I'd love to get you back to talk about the wines, your winery. We hit on it lightly, but I would really love to have you come back and tell, I just have a stack of standard questions I talk to people about, and you sound like you're in a unique little place there, too, that might be very interesting to talk about. So,
It is fantastic, and I would love to be back one day and talk to you, Ron.
Well, I have your number. I have your email address. We will get that done maybe sometime in November. We can get you on here if you're not in the middle of doing anything real important, and we'll get you back. We'll have you talk all and tell us all about the Grieve. Is it Grieve Winery?
Yep, that's it.
Grieve, okay. And we'll get you back on and talk about Grieve Winery. And
perfect. And thanks for having me today and letting me rant and rave about cork for you.
Vance, it was great. I learned so much. I thought I knew some stuff about corks, but I was major lacking in knowledge, and I realized that when you started to talk. So thank you for filling in my gaps of knowledge, and thank you for being on the program with us. And we will look forward to getting you back in within the next 6 weeks or so and telling us all about your winery.
Okay, thanks for having me.
Thank you very much now.
Thank you. Okay, bye.
Bye now.
Bye. Just making sure he did give the information website. I know we've given that out before, but okay. I just want to make sure he gave it out.
I gave it out 3 or 4 times myself.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah.
Let's give it out again, though. Amron Cork America is the name of the company. They, like I say, they've been in existence for 143 years, and they've been doing nothing but corks. That's the company I use now, Amron Cork. I've checked around different ones and all that, and I'm thrilled with them. I'm not, you're not going to, the listeners out there aren't going to go out and buy corks, obviously, but it's a great company. It's AMORIMCA.com. AmorimCA.com, and that's their website. Great website, nice information, some questions. It shows a cork, it tells different characteristics and specs of corks, and it goes into the different types and shows you different types of corks and all that stuff. Interesting site. So you can continue your knowledge on corks by checking out their website. And we'll have Vance back on in the future and let him talk to us about the winery. That was fun. I was fascinated.
Yeah.
I learned a lot of stuff tonight.
That was really good. A lot of information.
Yeah.
Another full page of notes here, so that's good.
Yeah, I just too. I'm sitting here scribbling down stuff all through the program myself. I mean, this is great. I mean,
he did say that the cork oak trees, mostly in Europe, Africa, and all that. I might have missed this part, but is it being also grown in the U.S.? Because I know he said you could probably plant one, but he didn't. I didn't catch that part if it was.
He said there are cork oaks being grown right now in California and China and throughout the world. But he said it's not the same cork. It's not the same elasticity to the cork. It's not the same it doesn't hold the same amount of texture and all that stuff. It's different. It's like planting any plant in different areas, you're going to get a different product. And it's the soil, the weather, the climates, everything, the terroir, as I mentioned, and in Portugal and North Africa and Spain and all that, that really gives the corks that give you the best wine cork. So, yes, it is planted other places, but it's just not giving you the quality.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah. Let me cut in quickly here. If this is being listened to by Armed Forces Radio Network, the program is going to hit the hour in about 30 seconds here. Tune in on archives, the rest of the program. Actually, we're going to be talking about the wineries and stuff like that. But you can tune into archives and pick up the other stuff on that. Thanks for listening. Tune in next time if you're listening to Armed Forces Radio Network, AFRN. So, okay, I want to throw that in there.
Very cool. And our website is allaboutwinebtr.com. It has links to the shows and where we're at on Twitter and everything else. So tune in there. Thank you. All right.
Yeah, thank you. But great show. I just really, it's a lot of stuff about the corks and the cork oak trees and the harvesting and the money. Well, you can make a fortune if, you know, you have yourself a cork oak plantation or just as a harvester. I mean, a six-month training program before you can actually harvest by yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, geez.
That's amazing.
Yeah. You know, you want to pick tomatoes, you want to pick strawberries, you go out and you pick them. You want to harvest cork oak, and you have to train for 6 months before they let you grab the big knife by yourself. That's yeah, it fascinates me. It really does. But interesting program. It really was. And we'll get getting back and have him talk to us about his winery.
Yeah, absolutely. That'd be good. Nice website, too, the Grieve Family Winery, grievewinery.com is his other venture there. So very cool. You have a very busy weekend this weekend at Florida State's winery, Saturday and Sunday. Yeah, Saturday and Sunday. It looks like you have events going on. Oh, wait, is it? Yeah, it's 9 September. Yeah, there you go. I have to actually look. What does 9 stand for? That's September. 28th and 29th, you have events going on. You have Wine Fest, of course, on Saturday the 28th, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., and the Wine Class on September 29th, Sunday, from 1 p.m. until 4 p.m. Local time, of course. It's Florida State's Winery, and I'll be back in 1 minute. Hang on. Yep.
Coming up this Saturday from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., it's Wine Fest at Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Come out and enjoy the live music. Relax with a glass of world-class wine. Participate in an informative wine tasting with Ron. Have fun and shop our vendors offering many unique handmade items and some brand names you have known for years. Wine Fest is a great time to pick up unique gift items. Enjoy your weekend with us at Wine Fest, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. this Saturday at Florida Estates Winery, located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. From I-75, take exit 285 and turn west for approximately 4 miles. See you Saturday at Wine Fest.
That's right, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday the 28th at Florida State's Winery. Come out and enjoy the weekend with live entertainment by Sam Osborne. You will love his sounds. Have a glass of world-class wines from Florida State's Winery. Relax and enjoy the day. It's going to be a great weekend. I believe we don't have a chance of rain until later next week sometime. So we're good during the days. And it's starting to get cool. The dew point's going down a little bit, so we're looking good. Kenneth is also going to be in with hand-carved coin jewelry and all kinds of cool stuff. Boxer and Christie, of course, with the candles, the Flame Rock oil candles. It's really cool. Raffle Rescue, don't forget, is there as well. And bring in a donation of canned food. So what do you have? A pet food donation, and you'll receive a 10% discount off a bottle of wine purchase. So that's cool. Raffle Rescue is a great organization helping animals one life at a time and saving pets, and that's fantastic. Heather's going to be there with some jelly, jam, cookies, bread, spice mixes, soup mixes, and candies. It's going to be great. Will is going to be there with Will Origami Owl. Oh, okay. I hope I pronounced that right. With some cool items there, and there's going to be a lot happening, of course, at Florida State's Winery. Shopping is always fun there, and it's just a great place to pick up unique gifts and, of course, get some of the great wines at Florida State's Winery. And it's going to be great underneath those oak trees. So come out and enjoy Saturday, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Florida State's Winery, and then Sunday, you have a three-hour wine class with our own Ron, of course, teaching the class. Where is the – not this one. No. Okay. Anyway, We get the idea.
The best people
anyway.
Are drinking.
Yes. Oh, us? Oh, yeah. Hey.
Hey.
That's Sunday from the 29th from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. And come on out and take the wine class. Call in advance and let them know that you're going to be doing this. It's 813-996-2113. RSVP for the wine class on Sunday. There's topics covered such as the brief history of wines, the wine grape varietals, wine grape diseases, wine glass styles and uses, cork history. Oh, there you go. And you can add this to it, I bet.
I can add this to it. Yes, I will too. Yes.
Cork history, evolution, and usage.
Yeah.
The oak aging, wine tasting, and rating wines, and a sampling of wines and discussion. It's fantastic. It's a great class. A lot of very entertaining and informative. That is this Sunday, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. at Florida State's Winery at located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. And we'll give you that again at the end of the show. But busy weekend at Florida State's Winery, and also mark your calendars because it's right around the corner. October the 5th is the date of the Pasco Pet Fest fundraisers that will be held at the winery. It's going to be a great event, and you want to come out and support that as well. That is October the 5th. We'll have more next Thursday. We'll have more information on the show on October the 3rd. So definitely want to do that. And don't forget, bring a food donation of pet food for Raffle Rescue during Wine Fest and the fundraising event, so that'd be cool.
Yep. Let's see. Are pet friendly too. I want to.
Yeah, yeah.
At pet, any time.
Pet. Yep. Just make sure you bring a leash. So,
that's right.
So one thing that yes. So, yeah. Very cool time at the winery this weekend. So very good. And we'll give you more information on the other happenings and everything. October is going to be an interesting month as we are already lining up guests for special shows in October, and. So stay tuned
our
right
haunted
here.
Halloween month, our haunted winery for Halloween month. It's October, so it should be fun.
Yeah,
we'll talk to some
good.
Haunted wineries, and
yep.
Well, we've got Joy's Joy of Wine coming back and talking to us about the wineries that she visited and stuff. She'll be on the 24th, so we got a good month coming up here. So
yeah, very cool, and we'll have more information on the. Armed Forces Radio Network plan, and I don't know if they'll be listening to this one or not, but that'll be cool.
I don't
of course,
if they are, then so, cool. Well, hopefully, get them to join our program, and like I say, that would be really cool. I would be excited about that.
Yeah,
and
great.
Jeff's out there. I want to say hi to Jeff. Jeff listens to my program. Jeff, you know who you are. He lists the program. He says he really enjoys it, located up in Maryland. So, Jeff, a little shout-out to you here. Thanks for listening.
Hmm.
And
cool.
Heather, his wife, also listens. So,
All right.
I just, a little shout-out to someone out there. If you listen to the program, let me know. Nobody ever emails us anyway, so I'm not too concerned about being flooded with emails. But if you listen to the program, you want to shout-out, hey, I'll be happy to say hey to you. On it, and if you have any questions, anything about the show or anything you want to hear, any topics or a particular winery that's close to your home that you would like us to interview, email me with their information. I'll be happy to call them and say, hey, you were recommended to be on the program, and I'm sure they will because we love to talk about wine and the winery business. So.
Yep. Spread the word. Very cool. And don't forget, you can go to the Facebook page at facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr for show information. Ron posts there as soon as we get something lined up for guests. And eventually I put that on Twitter, but like today I was tweeting stuff earlier about the show, but that was cool. So you can do that and visit the website also, which has the Facebook feed on it. The website is allaboutwinebtr.com. And you'll also see links up there to our past guests, including tonight's Vance. Is his link to the cork business is on there. And when he comes on and talks about his winery in great detail, we'll put his winery up there as well. So that'll be good.
Oh, also check out the Facebook page, too, because I had our guest last week, Michael and Bonnie from Barefoot, the originators of Barefoot Vineyard. They sent me a whole bunch of links for Barefoot and for their books, all sorts of stuff there. I'll post those. I'll throw those up on Facebook so people
Good.
Can check those out if you like too.
And I am reading. I am reading that book too. It's
you
yeah,
came
it's
in,
very,
did it?
Very good. Oh yeah, yeah. I've been reading.
Yeah.
Well, it's on my little tablet PC. So I've been reading that since I got it. But it's
okay.
It's a great read. Very nice, nicely done, and how the, it's called The Barefoot Spirit, and really interesting. I haven't gotten into the depth part of it, but you know the main part, I guess. I'm just getting into the intro, and oh, I forgot what chapter I'm on. Chapter three. There you go.
There you go.
So, learning how they met and everything, and a very, very good story. So it's really cool, and how they got into it, and how they got the logo, and it's really interesting. So, the
Barefoot
Spirit.
Concept.
Mm-hmm. Very, very interesting. So, good stuff. So, that's good. You have that information up there.
Yeah.
I'll
post it up there over the next couple of days. I'll get it all posted. They got it out to me, and I'll get it there. They were in town yesterday morning, and I didn't get a chance to go see them. I ended up having to work, and so I was going to go down and see them, meet them, but I had to work, and I couldn't make the trip. So.
And they're in just for one day?
actually, in Tampa. They're in Florida, but they were in Tampa just for yesterday morning. They were at the University of Tampa. Then they, I think they were heading up to northern Florida or Ocala, or I'm not sure where, but they were heading north, and they were going to be in Georgia, I think, so or South Carolina. So they're out of town by now. Thursday, they're out of town, I believe.
Yeah.
But good story.
Yeah, I heard
they have a good story. Yeah.
Yeah. Very good.
Good. Good fun information tonight on the quarks too. When you said that. I'm going to start talking more about quarks. My engineer in the background says, oh, no, the class just expanded to 4 hours since you got so much to talk about quarks.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, I learned so much. I got to tell you.
Yes. Here is everything you want to know about quarks. Thanks to, there you go.
Thanks to Vance Rose.
That's right.
My quarks.
Very cool. That was good. Well, okay, I guess we will, I don't have anything else to add. You don't have any last-minute things you want to toss in there. We'll close it down until...
I've always got things to talk about, but not tonight. We'll let people jump on. I had a couple of notes of things here I was going to mention, but I guess I have them in the file in the other room on the shelf of where I keep all this stuff. I don't have them here. Oh well.
Okay. All right. October the 3rd will be our next show. So join us then at 7 p.m. Eastern time. We're live on Thursday. That's October the 3rd. And we'll let you know what the topics are right here on Blog Talk Radio or the Facebook page, of course, will be your first little tip off, I guess. So if you want to know what's happening on the show, go there. Facebook.com/allaboutwineBTR. All right. All one word, no spaces, dashes. And we'll let you know what's happening on the show for the next showing, if anything. So, we'll have something on.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you all
for listening.
Yep. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in. And we didn't go to the archives yet. We're still live.
Cool.
Yeah, that's cool. So we'll see you all next time. Again, thanks for tuning in. Have a great week. And weekend coming up, don't forget Wine Fest and Wine Class at Florida State's Winery this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, for the Wine Class and Wine Class on – or Wine Fest and Wine Class on Sunday. There you go. We'll see you all next time. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you.
All right.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio. A special thanks to our special guests who have appeared on the show, and thanks to you, our listeners, for tuning in and supporting All About Wine. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and like our Facebook page. Go to twitter.com or facebook.com/AllAboutWineBTR. We welcome your comments and questions by email at allaboutwine101@gmail.com. The email address again is allaboutwine101@gmail.com.
All About Wine is a weekly program featuring Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida Estates Winery. The winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. From Interstate 75, take exit 285 and go west for approximately 4 miles. Or from US 19, the Suncoast Parkway, and US 41, go east on State Road 52. The winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. for retail sales and wine tasting. Visit the gift shop and enjoy the peaceful setting outside under a large shady canopy of oak trees. Florida Estates Winery is pet friendly and picnics are welcome. For more information, call area code 813-996-2113. That's area code 813-996-2113. Or visit us on the web at www.floridaestateswines.com. Again, that's floridaestateswines.com. Be sure to subscribe to our informative bi-weekly newsletter. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time on All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio.